if somebody were to look at your Spotify list or whatever you use, what would they see? Like, what are the must listen to songs for Atoya when she wants to get into her flow space?
Well, I'll forever be a Beyonce fan through and through. Just came back from her show in Paris and absolutely loved it. But right now, Giveon just came out with his new album, and I absolutely am obsessed with it. I love me some Giveon. I love Teddy Swims, Coco Jones. Oh my gosh, Daniel Caesar. All of those people get me in this calm mood where I can just put on the music and do what I need to do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Purpose Pivot with Melissa Gonzalez and in partnership with MarketScale. Today, I'm so excited to have a special friend on today as my guest, Atoya Burleson. Say hello, Atoya.
Hello, Melissa. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited. You never know who you're going to meet and when, and then the role that they're going to have in your life. So I'm so excited to dig in a little bit of that and all the things that she does as the founder of Ladies Playbook and also Inside Lines podcast and a Hall of Famer. I mean, all the things. So Atoya, yeah, thank you so much for coming on with me. You know, we met when we were both embarking on our new houses and like you were ready to move in. I was just closing and we had masks on our face because it was still COVID.
Yes. And it feels like just yesterday, but it also feels like it was forever ago. I don't know how to like.
I know how that happens. And you just, you know, you were just always so friendly and kind. And I remember you saying to me, I know what it feels like to be the new person. So I will always forever be grateful for that. And I've met so many people kind of where we live because of that. So that's just the person you are. But yeah, so Atoya, as I mentioned, she is the founder of Ladies Playbook, which is this amazing community platform that she has created that we're going to dig more into for NFL wives and girlfriends. And having been someone who's been through that whole NFL life and still kind of is, want to talk more about that. And then all the conversations you have at Inside Lines podcast and the cameo that you have in my book, which I think is a really relevant conversation for this show, The Purpose Pivot. So Atoya, why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about that? What do you want to start with? Inside Lines, Ladies Playbook? I mean, they kind of intertwine.
They definitely do intertwine. I guess I would start a little further back and just talk about, I've spent most of my life just immersed in the sports world. So it's just been who I am. My dad got me in sports so long ago, always played all through high school, and I ended up going to college on a track scholarship. And from there, I feel like I've always been around sports. And so when I went to college on a track scholarship, I ended up winning the championship. I became a Hall of Famer and I met my husband all in college. And so I feel like that's when the world took off for me. And it really put me on a different trajectory than I thought I was going to be on. From there, my husband, Nate, got drafted into the NFL. And so I kind of ended up, you know, having this high of where my life was in college and then basically following him along his journey that had just begun in the NFL. And we spent 11 years in the NFL, and that's kind of where life truly took off and changed for me in many ways. But it was all blessings, I would say.
Well, you know, I introduced this show as you never know who you're going to meet and when, but that is the true story. You never know who you're going to meet and when, because it did change so much of your trajectory.
Yes. It definitely did. I think about those 11 years and it went so fast. I think about, you know, in that time in the NFL, we got married. We had three kids. We lived in four different states, you know, on four different teams. And when it all ended, it was like, whew, you know, that waiting to exhale moment, like, oh my gosh, we're going to be in one house. This is amazing. But at the same time, you know, it kind of made me look back in retrospect at the blessings of meeting so many incredible women. I mean, I'm talking women that were, that became lifelong friends, but that also were doing great things in their lives, whether they were attorneys or teachers, or they ran their husband's entire philanthropy, whatever their organization is. And I thought to myself when it ended, although it ended, I said, you know, Nate, you guys are great as men, but there were some incredible women that I met that deserve to be amplified. So I created Inside Lines podcast 7 years ago. I'm going into my seventh season this fall. I'm just really celebrating women in and around sports, You could be sports adjacent where you're, you know, in the side of media, or you could be an NFL wag, or you could be in another sport. But I really wanted to amplify these women because I felt like their voices were not being heard. And I remember being that person. So that was near and dear to me. And from that, I kept getting women that would come on the podcast and say, "Hey, Atoya, when you were in Detroit, what school district did you put your kids in? Or when you were in Seattle, what OBGYN did you use?" And I thought to myself, okay, I've been out of the NFL for a while. The fact that they still don't have these things, it just didn't sit right with me. And I wanted to not complain about it, but instead do something about it. I wanted to be purposeful in my actions. And so I just created Ladies Playbook, which basically is a app that provides all the resources and recommendations you need, no matter what team you move to, no matter what city. And it also gives you community. You know, I know we have social media, but social media is social media. It only goes so far. But to have a community that knows exactly what you're going through, that you can lean on, that you can say, "Hey, we just moved here. I have 3 kids, or I have 2 kids, or I'd love to go to Starbucks and meet someone before the first game," just to really have a space where you can reach out to like-minded women was so important to me. And then lastly, I wanted to figure out what events can I provide for these women that really help them to learn and grow and just enjoy the space that they're in, because we know it ends at some point. So just really leaning into it and making it the best it could possibly be was really important to me.
Yeah, I love that. I want to talk a little bit about what does some of that programming look like? Like, you know, and you also are partnering with not just the women, but the teams as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I thought to myself, you know, if I could get the teams on board, I could get the entire roster of women so that they could have each other all at once. And the team would also be on board and they could be a part of it too. So for instance, not only having the team and the girls on board, but I could create different panels that the girls could learn about, whether it's relationships, how to better and strengthen your relationships, whether it's motherhood, whether it's, you know, feeling like you want to do something in an entrepreneurship world, you know, or marketing world, just bringing these different aspects to their lives where they can learn about it was really important to me.
Yeah, I love that. And so as women travel from team to team, because there's drafts and all of that too, you're helping with that because they have to start all over again too. So they can kind of go from city to city through the platform.
Yeah. So for instance, you know, I might have been in Arizona last year, and this year I'm in New York, and you're looking like, oh my gosh, New York? Wait, it's in New York or New Jersey? Where am I supposed to live? What's close to the facility? You're trying to figure this all out on your own. The guys are already on the field.
The thing you said to me about the guys is they get this kind of onboarding. They get this like welcome packet kind of.
They get their welcome from the team. They have their 53-man roster, their teammates, right? They get their playbook where they have to learn all the plays and study everything they need to know. But while they're off doing that, we're stuck. I'll give you an example, Melissa. I remember when Nate got picked up by the Detroit Lions. And at that time, we were in Seattle. And he had to go. And I just had Mia in July. Nate was already starting training camp in August. So I had to shut down my home in Seattle, move 3 kids, 12 pieces of luggage, send boxes all to Detroit, looking for a home online, trying to figure out, okay, well, I'm just going to rent for the first year because I have no idea what I'm doing. Just really trying to figure it out all by myself. There was no, hey, welcome. There was no, here's a packet. This is what you need. I remember asking Nate, like, did you ask someone? There's someone that can help me. Like, oh, yeah, I'll ask him. But, you know, he'd forget. And I just gave up. You know, I was just like, I'll figure it out myself. But I would have loved to have that. I would have loved to find out that I was going to Detroit and hear about a ladies' playbook where I could be like, oh, my gosh, let me see who's already in Detroit that I could reach out to and say, hi, I'm moving there in a month. I'm starting over from scratch. Can you give me recommendations for a realtor, someone that can help me find a home? What city do most of the guys live in? What's close to the facility? How do I find a doctor? Because I just had Mia, like I said, when we moved, she was 8 weeks old. So I had to literally, I think she was less than 8 weeks actually, because it was in August. Yeah, and I had her in July. So I had to figure it all out. And I remember having the stroller I had my boys. I remember we pulled up to the airport. I checked in outside because I had 12 pieces of luggage. And after I checked those bags in, I remember taking the kids and getting settled in on the plane. And I remember texting Nate like, I hope you're going to be at the airport because I have 12 pieces of luggage. I don't know what to do. And so we got to figure this out, right? And so you're literally starting your life over and you're just hoping someone can help you along the way to just make it that much easier. And that's what Ladies Playbook is for me.
I love that. Well, what you're talking about is synonymous or parallel to what we talk about in the book. And this is the power of being seen. And I think that you're giving that to all of these women because you have that lens of empathy. You've lived it. You understand the challenges. And you're saying, I see you, and creating community to be here for you. So tell me, we think about some of the promises that your brand is offering. Like when you think of what does it mean to be seen?
Oh my gosh, to be seen. I would say it means having your experiences and your feelings acknowledged and validated. It brings a sense of value to who you are so that you can then find the proper resources. When someone sees you, they can help you. If they don't see you, they're like, eh, okay, whatever. So being seen really is about being acknowledged, number one. And number two, someone finding value to that. They understand, like, okay, I see how that is challenging. What can we do here? They recognize the struggles and the triumphs, and they really want to find a space that helps you just figure out what you can do next. They're like, okay, and that's what Ladies Playbook was to me. Like, I understood what they were going through because I went through it. But more importantly, I really wanted to find a space that helps them when they were so overlooked for so long. Now they didn't have to be overlooked. They were seen and we were going to do something about it.
Well, I remember when you first launched, Drew also had this great video behind the scenes of the making of it. And you did focus groups, right? You didn't also just depend on your own experience. Talk to us a little bit about that process that you took to make sure you understood, what your brand, who they were serving.
Absolutely. So obviously I knew the basics of what was missing, right? But I know I'm older and my time has
The world
gone by
changes
so.
very quickly all the time.
Right. So I wanted to make sure to create a beta group of women that were a part of building this out because it was ultimately for them. I could only do so much. The rest is about them. And so I had this beta group. We asked questions. We got on Zooms. They had to answer a lot of information. We would then come back, put it all together, talk through it. And that's ultimately how I created my group of ambassadors, was because this ambassador group was so willing to share and talk about what was missing and talk about what was great. It's not like it's all bad. There's also strength. So, really hitting on those, but then figuring out how we could make it even across the board in the sense of like all of these other spaces that weren't being filled, just kind of bringing them up and giving them a little peace of mind there.
So, when having that beta group and thinking about your, were there any surprises? Were there any things like, oh man, I never thought about that before?
I would say the biggest surprise, like when I was creating the resources and recommendations, it was a space where I would find them and put them in. But the women wanted a little more, I guess, proactivity in that where they could be a part of that. So they said, hey, we would love to be able to put some in real time if we find one. And we would also love to review it. And so we had this rule across the board where they could put in a resource, a recommendation. They could also review it. And that's good and bad, right? There's going to be the times where a review is great. And there's going to be a time where, a review may not be so great, but they wanted to make sure that that was a part of it. So if something did happen, we had the freedom and flexibility to take down a resource as well if needed.
Yeah. And it's good to have that feedback because you're doing two things. You're also building this community and you want everybody to feel good about that community, maintain that level of authenticity, but also have them all kind of bought into, what they're buying into by being part of that community.
Yeah, it was important for me to develop trust with them. I wanted trust off the bat. I wanted them to know this is for them. And I also wanted to give them a voice. Open communication is so important to me, like across the board, no matter if you're my girlfriend, my husband, my mom, whoever. I feel like open communication, everybody deserves a space to be who they are and say how they feel. And so just making sure that overall, even within that, even within the open communication, even within the reviews, that we had shared values. So if there was something that didn't go well, you know, my rule was, let's just make sure that we do it in a respectful manner. Make sure that if there is something that happens, I will reach out to you to find out more and do my due diligence on my part. So having that trust and that open communication was huge, because I wanted the members to feel safe. I wanted them to share their thoughts. I wanted everything to foster a sense of inclusivity, but also empathy. So when you go through something, you feel seen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, speaking of that, you're also taking it another step further with this journal you're coming out with. By the time this goes live, that should be available. Or maybe I saw a sneak peek. It's almost available. So tell us a little about that. What is this extension that you've been working on? Why? And what can people expect out of it?
So I embarked on this journey of, I'm going to talk about how it happened. So I was in the space where I was like, I need to just clean up some stuff. I had so many books and so many things, and I was going through it. And Melissa, I found so many journals of when I was in the NFL. And it's hilarious to like look back on all the things that I thought that mattered, all the things that I was stressed out about, all of these moments. They did matter in the time.
But that's the wisdom you're going to share to this community of women who are just coming up in the NFL.
Exactly. And I said to myself, I can't throw this away. I can't get rid of this. And so what I thought to do was comb through each one, take the gems out of each one and compilate something together that's so beautiful that explains my life and what I went through, hoping that there's relatability there, but also giving them those gems, those spiritual gems, those encouraging gems that helps them to get through each NFL day. So it's called Her Legacy. And the reason I called it that is because as I looked back on all these journals, and I think back to where I was then to where I am now, I have truly carved out my legacy. And my legacy has become helping these women to be their best selves. You know, thinking about young Atoya and what I didn't have and creating that for them and putting them in a space where they can soar a lot sooner than I did was so important to me. And so I have simple things in there. I have my devotionals in there because I really believe in journaling and devotionals. And but I also have these moments of like motivational Monday, where we all know Mondays are not the best.
Yes.
And so we need that tidbit of motivation to help start your week. And I wanted to create WAG Wednesdays because as a WAG, which stands for wife and girlfriend, as a WAG, I realize that you go, 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 you do for your family, for your man, for everyone else. And you often forget to take a pause or a timeout for yourself and fill your own cup up. Give yourself the self-care and the nourishment that you need. And I wish I would have learned how to prioritize self-care sooner. And I realized that throughout my journal.
You know what? And so I want to go back to self-care because I write about that in the book. I also think we sometimes categorize self-maintenance with self-care too. Because if, right, there's a lot of conversation I've had of, I'm not prioritizing self-care, but also I'm realizing what I defined of self-care was not really self-care, right? And so if you think about that too, young Atoya to today, like what would you put in that bucket?
Yeah, I would say prioritizing self-care is about, for me, it's about emotional well-being. It's about taking a pause, like each Wednesday, like WAG Wednesday, once a week, taking a pause and seeing where you are. You might not be in the same space you were before. It's not going to get your nails done. It's not going to get your hair done. To your point, that's self-maintenance. But self-care to me is, where am I? What do I need in this moment? What can I do for myself to replenish myself? Do I need time alone? Do I need to meditate? Do I need to read the word? Or do I need to get in my car and drive and blast the music and sing to the top of my lungs? Do I need to sit at Starbucks and grab a latte and relax and give myself a moment to just really reflect on all the things that have been jumbled in my head that I need to work through? So self-care can look different each and every time. It could be time with a girlfriend. Like, I need to replenish my cup. I need to call Mel. We need to catch up and sit and talk and laugh and just, you know, pour into one another. And so that's the type of self-care that I'm talking about. Just in the moment, when you pause, what do you need? What are you feeling? Is there someone you need to talk to? Do you want to be alone? Just really self-evaluating yourself and deciding, okay, I recognize this vulnerability right now. How can I make this a strength and fill it up? So that to me is self-care. It has to be a priority. You have to listen to yourself, and you can't do that unless you're alone.
You can't, you know, the alone time that I've gained appreciation for as a mom is that short ride from the school line bus, like the school line drop off, you know, when you sit in that parking lot for half an hour. Those few minutes, I don't even know if it's five, that I drive home back to my house after that and I just blast the music and I'm just feeling that moment. That's, yes, it's like,
it fills you up.
It does.
You're like, I need
that.
So important.
Yes, so important for sure. I've learned to value that stuff more as I've gotten older for sure. Well, I'm going to bring up a couple quotes from the book and then we can dive into that a little bit. The first quote that shows up from you is, I am in my soft era, and this lives in the chapter of reprioritization. And so we touched upon a little bit with self-care, I suppose, but like, what are the tools and routines that you have in your life that helps you to stay true to that statement of I'm living in my soft era?
Absolutely. Okay. So I want to talk about it from a different perspective. I remember always feeling like as an athlete, let's just go back to that. As an athlete, you're always on. You're always performing. You're always putting your best foot forward. You're going and doing and doing and going. And I realized because I was doing that, I was not practicing self-care. I was not prioritizing myself. So once I recognized that I was still in the state of performing, in the state of doing, I had to learn that that was unhealthy, that I was creating unhealthy habits. And so from that is where I learned to pause and to find my soft era. I think I was always going and doing that. I didn't even recognize I needed one or I had one. And when I really recognized it was with my daughter, Mia. Having her really helped me to realize there was a softness and a calmness and just like this sense of just almost fantasy that she lived in. That's a soft era. And I would look at her and it was just so intriguing to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so beautiful. And I would be in such awe. And I realized the reason I'm feeling that from her is because I didn't have it. It was something that inside of me that I realized I was so used to going and doing that I lost that side of myself. So it was a moment where I told myself, I have to find this in myself again. And so it took a while to do so. It took intentionality. I had to learn that I had to break those old habits of always feeling like I needed something to do. I couldn't be still. Okay, what's next? Check. What's next? Checks. All the to-do lists were all checked off, but I was not bringing attention to a side of myself that needed to be filled as well. So in my soft era reflects a phase in my life where I prioritize my self-care. And I take a time out to see where I am and how I'm feeling. Because if you don't do that, it comes out in not so healthy ways. You come out as snapping at my husband or, you know, hurry up and getting back, you know, getting my kids off to where they needed to be because I just need a moment, right? It's like coming out in these really, it's leaking out in these ways that are very unhealthy. But if you pay attention to what your body is really telling you and you feel that, you find that softness within yourself.
I agree. I'm glad the checking in with yourself is so important and giving yourself the grace and the permission to do so and listen. You know, and we forget to listen. Like sometimes we hear it, but we don't always listen to it. But I think it's really important to do that. And I think you had to, I mean, as an athlete and as a woman, I think it's very common to think you have to go and go and go and go and go.
Especially motherhood. You go from athletics to motherhood and you just think you just selflessly give of yourself. And I'm like, where did I learn this from? This is so unhealthy. Why do I think this is normal to just deplete myself all the time and no one fills me up?
Yeah, you have to make the space and make it a priority. Like, you know, not a nice to have. If I can fit it in, I'll carve out space. Like it is as important. The other aspect in the book, which I think ties to the community that you're building, is that grateful for feeling seen. And throughout the book, you know, we talk about different transformational journeys that people have had, moments tied a little bit to health, and you kind of gone through that yourself. So, you know, whatever you're comfortable sharing, but I remember you really talking about not just what you went through, but when it was weeks later and you met somebody to share. And I want to bring that up because I think so many people associate any pauses and moments as these moments of weakness. But when we have the dialogue, we realized how much commonality is out there and camaraderie that exists and how helpful we can be to each other.
Absolutely. You know, part of my soft era was just taking those moments to journal or meditate, just setting aside time for self-reflection. Sometimes it could be 10 minutes, sometimes it could be 30, right? But in that, I started writing about how I was feeling. And a lot of it was this negative feeling of I didn't know what was wrong with me. Something was wrong and I couldn't figure out what it was. And I was having these moments where I was bleeding. I felt like my periods were just these long, drawn out, it felt like 2 weeks, sometimes longer, or it'd stop and it'd come back. And I realized in taking the time to write and giving myself a moment to pay attention to myself, I told myself, this is unhealthy. You need to do something about it. So I went to the doctor and I told her. And she examined me and she basically told me that I had fibroids. And she explained to me what they were. And this is why I was bleeding. And this is why you would stop bleeding on your period, but it would come back later because it was pushing through. When those fibroids would like break or pop, it would push through again. And I'm like, I can't live like this. I was at a wedding and I had a dress on, and my husband noticed it. He's the one that told me, like, you're bleeding on the back of your dress. And I had to like leave and go to the hotel, and I didn't want to come back. I was so mortified. And I just was telling her these moments, like, I can't do this anymore. And she said, you don't have to. And she gave me my options. And so from that, from recognizing what I was going through, what my body was going through, and seeking help, I was able to find a resolution, which was I ended up having a hysterectomy. And when people, I tell people that, they're like, oh. And I was like, no, I was done having kids anyway. It was good. I didn't need to keep that uterus. Take it out.
But it is still a big surgery. It's a big life change with what your body goes through.
And you know, it's so funny that you say that, Mel, because she said, I want you to recognize that this is a big surgery. And she also said, I want you to recognize that you have to be still. There is no go in this moment. You have to stay still for 2 to 3 weeks. And she's like, and then you can start moving. So from that, in having that surgery, in getting my uterus removed and the fallopian tubes and all that goes along with that, I learned to be still even more, which was so hard for me. But during that time, I journaled, I wrote out my feelings, I really spent that time with myself. And it really helped me kind of carve out more of who I was and more of what I wanted to do along my journey. Just acknowledging, you know, all of that was so important for me. And I feel like just starting the journey of acknowledgement and spending that time with me led me to even more time with doing that. And so it's definitely a blessing in disguise for sure.
It is. You get to know yourself a little bit better in the stillness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's beautiful that you think journaling is so important. I write about that as well, as just like a tool, an avenue, you know. And I think it's the therapy it gives you in the moment, but the ability to reflect back the way you have and then incorporate that into her legacy is a whole nother level of, I'm sure there was some therapeutic moments going through that process.
100%. So there's therapeutic moments on both sides. One side of me, you know, writing this out and laughing at the things that I went through and putting it down. But also I'm a huge believer in therapy, real therapy, like going to see someone that is licensed. And she helped me to see more sides of myself too, as I started discussing these things. So it was really, and for me, it was so healing in so many ways. And gosh, I said to myself, I'm going to love this journal because I healed myself, and I hope if I can just heal one other person from the things that I went through, then I feel like I will have done what I was supposed to do.
I love that. That's how you pay it forward. So that's really, really powerful. Okay. Well, I think we've had so much of a conversation. But before we go, I always have rapid fire questions that I like to ask. So I'm going to go through those with you and I'm going to read them off. And then you're just going to go. All right. So the first rapid fire question, who are your biggest role models and why?
I would say the first person I remember seeing on TV that I thought was amazing was Oprah Winfrey. She was the first. Yes. I remember seeing her and thought, oh my gosh, she looks like me. Like I'd never seen someone with that much power in that much space with their own show. Not only speaking so eloquently and so she's so emotionally intelligent, but her topics and the things that she had on meant so much. And she was a huge philanthropist. I always will remember the days that she would give stuff away, like, you get a car, you get a car.
Please be around forever and ever.
Yes. And so she was the first person that I thought, wow, she is incredible. I would love to meet her one day. So she's number one. Number two, as I grew up over the years and went to college, I look back on my godmother, and she is definitely one of my biggest role models because she was an attorney. She became a judge. She started a track club that I was a part of. And she not only taught us the value of working hard, but she taught us the importance of spirituality and really leaning into God and how he helps direct your life and your purpose comes from him. That was so huge for me. It really changed my life and the trajectory of, but as I went into college, I had that foundation, which was so, so beneficial for me. And then, I mean, I have people along the way that I absolutely love. I love me some Michelle Obama. She will forever be my first lady, forever and ever. And someone like Serena Williams, like to see all that she's done and what she's done as an athlete. And she, to me, is a prime example of work hard, go hard, do hard. And then now she's in her soft girl era or her soft era of being a mother and raising a family. And I just love that for her. So those I would say are my biggest role models.
All right. Well, that's a great list. Okay. Number two, as an athlete, a Hall of Famer athlete, what are your go-to workout routines? Like if somebody had like 5 minutes, what should they be doing?
I would say strength training. Yes, yes, yes. We need it for our bones. Interval workouts because we need to switch it up and do things that really help shock the body. And taking a moment and going on a quick walk. Just really just no phone, no nothing, but just walking and being in tune with nature. It's so beautiful.
The no phone is the key because you see people going for walks and they're like this the whole time. It is not the same. all right. And last one, if somebody were to look at your Spotify list or whatever you use, what would they see? Like what are the must listen to songs for Atoya when she wants to get into her flow space?
Well, I'll forever be a Beyonce fan through and through. Just came back from her show in Paris and absolutely loved it. But right now, Giveon just came out with his new album and I absolutely am obsessed with it. I love me some Giveon. I love Teddy Swims, Coco Jones. Oh my gosh, Daniel Caesar. All of those people get me in this calm mood where I can just put on the music and do what I need to do.
Oh, I love it. Yes. I mean, I love that I'm asking these questions that keep adding to my own playlist because everybody's sharing so many good ones. And you know, I like Teddy Swims. So you've heard my karaoke. That's so good. My daughter's better at it. But so I like anything with that soulful tune to it. But
if it's time to work out, give me some Jay-Z, give me some Ludacris. You can still do Beyonce, Chris Brown, Kendrick Lamar. Like, I need something that gets me going. Like, that's my workout go-to for sure.
Yeah, it's all about the vibe you want to evoke. And then that informs what kind of playlist you need. Well, thank you so much. This time always goes so quickly, but I know the audience really enjoyed getting to know you better. And thank you for everything you shared and what you're building with Ladies Playbook. So again, everybody, this is Atoya Burleson. She is the founder of Ladies Playbook and also Inside Lines podcast, which you could listen to some amazing conversations if you look that up online. And then soon to come out your journal. So thank you so much for spending time with us.
And thank you, Mel, for all that you're doing for so many women. You're shining a light on many topics that need to be discussed. You're teaching people to be vulnerable and use that as a strength. And I know the Purpose Pivot is going to change many lives. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much.